نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قيل: ومن يأبى يا رسول الله؟ قال: من أطاعني دخل الجنة، ومن عصاني فقد أبى. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
My most respected ulama ikram, elders and beloved brothers, if in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his kindness and mercy upon us, Allah has given us Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a guide, as a role model, and as an example for us. In every aspect of our lives, we will find guidance in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in Quran Sharif says that لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that most definitely for you in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a perfect example. An example, a role model, is someone that is to be followed. So that is why we find in every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every dimension we look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there will be lessons for us to take. We will find direction, we will find navigation. Whether it be the personal life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it be his private life, his public life, his social life, his marital life, every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is inspiration for us to take. And ulama ikram mentioned that just like how from the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there is guidance for us, similarly in the sad demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as the final illness that preceded that, in this also there is great lessons for us to take. One is, we know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his blessed birth took place in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. But together with this, the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also took place in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. There's a difference of opinion amongst the mu'arrikhin, amongst the historians, as to the exact date on which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away in Rabi'ul Awwal. But there is more or less a unanimity amongst them that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away during the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. And we find that prior to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many incidents transpired, many occurrences took place, which gave indications now to the imminent demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find once Fatima radiallahu anha, the beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had four daughters: Zainab radiallahu anha, Umm Kulthum, Ruqayya, and Fatima radiallahu anha, the youngest daughter. Of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact of all the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the only child that outlived Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Fatima radiallahu anha. All the three sons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim, Abdullah, Tahi, all passed away in infancy. The three other daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also passed away during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only daughter that outlived Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Fatima radiallahu anha, and that too only for 6 months afterwards. And she was the most beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go on any trip, on any journey, then the last person he would meet before leaving Medina Munawwara was Fatima radiallahu anha. The first person that he used to meet when he used to return back to Medina Munawwara was Fatima radiallahu anha. So a very great attachment he had with her. So one day Fatima radiallahu anha, she enters into the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Aisha radiallahu anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he welcomes her, he greets her, he sits her down. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whispers something into the ear of Fatima radiallahu anha. Immediately Fatima radiallahu anha breaks down crying. After a little while, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whispers again something into her ears. And now she is smiling. Aisha radiallahu anha is confused. She says that I haven't seen anyone with such mixed emotions in such a short period of time than I have seen on that day. On one hand, few minutes she is sad, she is crying, and then few minutes later she is so happy and she is smiling. So she says that I came to ask Fatima radiallahu anha that what is the reason, what made you cry on that day, what made you smile at that day. So Fatima radiallahu anha says that this was a secret between me and my father Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I will not divulge the secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you find after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam eventually passed away, then Fatima radiallahu anha, now when Aisha radiallahu anha re-inquired from her, then she felt it appropriate now to mention it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was no more living. So she says that the first time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam whispered into my ear, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me that, oh Fatima, that Jibreel alayhi salam, every year he comes and he does door of Quran with me. He revises the entire Quran with me once. But this year, Jibreel alayhi salam, he has done the revision of the Quran with me twice. وَلَا أَرَاهُ إِلَّا حَضَرَ أَجَلِي. And I suspect that the time for my departure from this world has come very close. And oh Fatima, the first person from my family, the first person from my household that will meet me after my demise shall be you. Upon this, Fatima radiallahu anha began to cry. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam whispered into her ear that, oh Fatima, ama tardin an takuni sayyidata nisa'i ahli al-jannah. That, oh Fatima, does it not make you happy that you will be the leader of the woman in Jannah? And this made Fatima radiallahu anha smile. So we find that there were many indications prior to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that soon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be leaving from this world. We find that the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place in the 11th year after Hijrah, in Rabi'ul Awwal. 3 months prior to this was Hajjatul Wada, in the 10th year after Hijrah, in Dhul Hijjah. And we find that during the Hajj as well, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received many indications. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam alluded to this as well, to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that soon his demise will take place. And many a time during the Hajj, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to tell the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that khudu anni manasikakum, la'alli la arakum ba'da aami hada. That learn the rites of Hajj from me. Learn about Hajj from me, because it is possible that I will not see you the year later. I may not be around the next year. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam alluded to this. We find that in Mina, 80 days prior to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Surah An-Nasr was revealed. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they heard these verses, they understood that now this is the time for the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is close. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, in fact, mentioned this to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when the help of Allah, when the victory comes, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, and you're seeing people now entering into the fold of Islam, this is a sign now that the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is getting completed. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they understood that soon the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to take place. We find that towards the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Islam was now expanding throughout the world. And now there was a need to send governors to the different parts of the world. So a need arose to send a governor to Yemen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appoints two sahaba radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, two senior sahaba radiallahu anhu, as governors in two different parts of Yemen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now dispatching Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. And we know Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, what a great sahabi he was. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once while addressing Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, imagine what a honor Mu'adh radiallahu anhu had. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him that, Ya Mu'adh, wallahi inni lauhibbuk. That, oh Mu'adh, by the qasam of Allah, I love you. What an honor he had. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this to him directly. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is bidding him farewell. As he is walking out of Medina Munawwara, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu is on his conveyance. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is walking next to him. And Rasulullah sallallahu is giving him advice. Rasulullah sallallahu is giving him guidelines that how to carry out himself now in Yemen. And then towards the end, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that, Ya Mu'adh, Asa Allah talqani ba'da ami hadha. It is possible that when you return, you will not meet me. وَلَعَلَّكَ أَن تَمُرَّ بِقَبْرِي وَمَسْجِدِي. It's possible that you will pass by my qabr, you will pass by my masjid, but I will not be around. فَبَكَى مُعَادٌ جَشَعًا بِفِرَاقِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مُعَادٌ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنُهُ burst out crying. That this is the last time that he will be witnessing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine what must have been the desire in the heart of Mu'adh radhiyallahu anhu to remain back in Medina Munawwara with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he could be around to witness the last few days of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he had kept in his heart the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It will be more beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I go in the path of Allah, that I sacrifice my desire, that I sacrifice what I want to do, and to fulfill the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that became more beloved to Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radhiyallahu anhu. So we find that there were many signs and many indications. And thereafter, prior to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that approximately 13 to 14 days before the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the final illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam began. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day after Fajr Salah, he goes to the Qabristan, he goes to the graveyard with one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And after returning from the graveyard, he comes to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And Rasulullah complains of a splitting headache. Wa ra'sa. He even tells Aisha that, oh Aisha, what a severe headache I'm experiencing. And this was the beginning now of the final illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as the days continued, so this was the last 13 to 14 days before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when this final illness began. And as the days continued, as the days got closer and closer to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sickness intensified. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sickness got worse. His health deteriorated more and more. And we find that once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this period, he also mentions Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, that, oh Aisha, I can feel the effect of the poison in the meat that had eaten at Khaybar. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the expedition of Khaybar, which took place in the 7th year after Hijrah. Now the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final illness is in the 11th year. 4 years ago, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was in Khaybar, and he was offered food by the Jewish woman who had intended to assassinate, to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, part of that meat had went down the system of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that I can feel the effect of that poison of the food that I had eaten in Khaybar 4 years ago. And you find that ulama say that because the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was linked now to this poison that he had eaten. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say that I can actually feel the effect of this poison splitting my arteries open. So this was the effect, this was one of the causes of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why ulama say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with whatever else, he attained the level of shahadat, he attained the rank of shahadat, because his demise was caused because of that poison that was fed to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also a shaheed as well. So as respected friends and elders, the days got closer and closer, the sickness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it increased and increased. But despite the sickness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite the weakness that he was experiencing, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to go to the houses of his Mubarak wives as he was went to before. According to that allocated days, according to that tartib that was set, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to go. And with much difficulty he used to go. It is mentioned in one narration that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes he had to be carried in a sheet and be taken from one house to the other house. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the pinnacle of fairness and justice. He never ever gave preference to one wife over the other. He never favored one wife over the other. But we find that towards the end night was becoming difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he sought permission from them, from his wives, that to allow him now for the last few days, that he can be stationed in the house of one of his wives, and that was Aisha radiallahu anha. The rest of the Azwaj al-Mutahara, they understood. Aisha radiallahu anha, she was the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most comfortable in her home. So each one of them, they voluntarily, they waived off their right of being with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. they put in front of them the comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over their own comfort, and they allowed for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be seated in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And at this point also, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being now to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, he was extremely weak, extremely frail. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to take support of two sahaba radiallahu anhum on the shoulders of these two sahaba, with his feet dragging onto the ground, with his head covered in a bandage because of the severe pain of the headache that he was experiencing. And in this condition, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. But we find, respected friends and elders, that throughout this entire final illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to perform his salah with jama'at in the masjid. Despite how severe his condition was, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to show the ummah, sickness was an excuse for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He could have performed his salah at home. Jama'at wasn't necessary for him. But to impress upon the ummah the importance of salah, that no matter in what condition you find yourself in, do not miss your salah. To express to us, to show us the importance of salah with jama'at in the masjid, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took so much of pains. We find that before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the Thursday, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away on the Monday. That morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sickness really intensified. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for seven water skins of water to be brought and to be put into a tub. And this water was brought, it was sealed, it was not put into this tub. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took a bath in this water. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got a bit of strength, a bit of courage. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the help of his cousin Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, he now comes into the masjid. And Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu anhu brings him closer to the minbar. And he summons the sahaba radiallahu anhum, all the sahaba radiallahu anhum, they gather. Some sahaba radiallahu anhum, like Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu, says that this was the last time that he witnessed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was, so to say, the final khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he is giving to the sahaba radiallahu anhu. Imagine how much of advice Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many khutbahs he gave, how many bayans he must have given to sahaba radiallahu anhum throughout his entire life. So what pertinent advices Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam must have given the sahaba radiallahu anhum? We find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began his bayan, he began his khutbah by mentioning of the shuhada of Uhud. 8 years ago, in the 3rd year after Hijrah, the battle of Uhud took place. This is 8 years later now. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still mentioning of the shuhada of Uhud. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for them. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amongst the many advices that he gave sahaba radiallahu anhu, in this certain one or two, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned them against love for this world. Imagine the last advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now giving to the ummah. The most pertinent of advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving. And this wasn't only for the sahaba radiallahu anhum. Obviously this was the audience in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this message was for the entire ummah, for that last person to be born till the day of Qiyamah. This advice is for you and I. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells the sahaba that my fear for you is not that you will become mushrikeen. I do not fear shirk upon you. I will not fear that you leave the fold of Islam. But my fear upon you is that this dunya will now open in front of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now throw the world at your feet. Let it not be such fatanafasu fiha, that you will now vie with one another in trying to amass the world, in trying to compete to get the benefits of this world. فَتُهْلِكَكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكَتُمْ, because this world will destroy you like how it has destroyed the people of the past before you. Imagine in this world, a person is leaving this world, his biggest concern, his greatest concern is the financial stability of his children, is the wealth of his children, is the material benefits. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is his main concern, that this dunya should not consume you. This should not become your greatest concern. Make akhirat your concern. Let the dunya be at your feet. Let the dunya be in your hands, and let deen be in your heart. This was the concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continued to praise some of the sahaba radiallahu anhum, as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised him, that inna amanna an-nasi fi suhbatihi wa malihi Abu Bakr. That the person that had benefited me the most in his companionship and his wealth was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We know how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sacrificed his life, sacrificed his wealth in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then prays as Abu Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu as well. And thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he addressed the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And he says that إِنَّهُ قَدَّنَا مِنِّي حُقُوقٌ, that I was a human being like you, and we lived amongst each another. And it is possible that I may have maybe taken the right of one of you. Now the time has come for me to pay back. If there is anyone from amongst you, if there is anyone from amongst you, that I may have maybe given him a shot on his back. فَهَذَا ظَهْرِي, here is my back here today, you take revenge from me today. If there is anyone from amongst you, maybe I might have offended him, I might have hurt his honor, I might have disrespected him in any way. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pleads with him that please, here is my honor today, please take revenge from me today. If there's anyone from amongst you, maybe I might have taken his wealth. I may be owing somebody any wealth. Here is my wealth. Take your wealth from me today. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look, whatever wealth he might have taken from the Sahaba radiallahu anhu wasn't for his own personal reasons. Sometimes people used to come seeking wealth. People were poor, asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not have anything to give them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to take loans from others so that he could give others, so that he could spend upon the poor. This was the only reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam might have taken a loan. And look at the concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone that I'm owing any money to, let him come today. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages the Sahaba radiallahu anhu that don't feel that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will hold any grudge upon you, so you're not going to come forward. Rather, that person that takes his right from me today, he is the most beloved to me. This was the concern in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respected friends. So this was the part of the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he gave. And then the last advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the ummah as he is leaving from this world. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued giving this advice until he couldn't speak anymore. And what was that advice? As-salatu wa ma malakat imanukum. The last advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine an obedient child. The last advice that his father gives, how much of effort he will make to carry out that wasiyat and that bequest of his father. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more compassionate for his ummah than our own fathers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerned, respected friends, was for our salah. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we mentioned earlier on that on the Thursday, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to the masjid, he gives the khutbah. So the Dhuhr salah he performed, the Asr salah he performed, the Maghrib salah he performed with Jamaat, with the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum in the masjid. But when he returned home, the sickness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became even more severe. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went into a state of unconsciousness. And then he regains consciousness. And the first concern he has, that has the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, have they performed the Isha salah? The answer is given that, O Rasul of Allah, the Sahaba are waiting for you, they haven't performed their salah. In that condition, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his friends, he musters up the courage. He sits up. He asks for water to be poured into a tub. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a ghusl. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raises himself up. And Rasulullah barely stands up and he falls down unconscious again. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regains his consciousness again. First questions he asks those around him. Has the Sahaba radiallahu anhum performed their Isha salah? The answer is given, no, O Rasul of Allah, they are waiting for you. Same thing happens again. Rasulullah asks for water to be put into a tub. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes a bath. He gains a bit, regains a bit of consciousness. He stands up and then the pain is too severe. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam falls down unconscious. Again, the same concern. Has the Sahaba radiallahu anhum performed their salah? Eventually, this happens three times. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells them that Muru Abu Bakrin fal yusalli bin nas. They tell Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that he should command, that he should perform the salah for the people. And the balance of the salah from that day on and from the Thursday, Isha salah, till the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he led the people in salah. He led the Sahaba radiallahu anhu in salah. And we find that this was also one of the indications from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, friends and elders. Look at the concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for salah. In that condition that he was in, the main concern in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, has the people performed their salah? Has the people performed their salah? And this was the last advice of Rasulullah, as-salatu wa ma malakat imanukum. So how respected friends and elders, objective of these programs of Seerah Jalsas is that how we can take these lessons from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That which was the concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his deathbed, that is our wasiyat as well. How we can take these advices to heart. It shouldn't be such the time of Fajr. Muadhin is calling out the adhan, but our sleep is overcoming us. At the time of Zuhr, our work is overcoming us. At the time of Asr, we are more worried about getting home. At the time of Maghrib, our family and our food. At the time of Isha, our sleep. No, respected friends. The plea of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, for each and every ummati of his. As-salatu wa ma malakat imanukum. May dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a tawfiq to make amal whatever has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.